Going to hear more of that from our truth, our gospel. All of the Bible is true and truth, but all of the Bible is not truth for us as directives. Notice why I say it. Truth to direct us. Otherwise, we better start sacrificing animals and the like. Amen. Amen. So we're going to hear truth that was purposely, amen, lovingly, definitively given unto us and for us. To inform us, not to get us saved, but to inform us that we are. Hallelujah. Without any further ado, let's receive Elder William Liverman and the mystery, the gospel of the grace of God, with a very hearty amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Grace and peace to the household of faith. Amen. Thank God for everyone here. Amen. In spite of the little snow outside, we're still here, right? We're here because God has purposed you to be here. Let our heart pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness, grace, kindness, and mercy. We thank you, Lord, for grace. We thank you, Lord, for our gospel. And God, we thank you for the doctrines of grace and the liberating gospel that we abide in the essence of the mystery. And Father, right now we thank you that you ask that you breathe upon everyone here, Father. Oh, God, bring enlightenment. Only the Holy Spirit can bring enlightenment. And Father, we ask that you continue to just bless this ministry according to your will, plan, and purpose. Bless the word of God today. Let everything that is not of Christ be moved aside. Let Christ be exalted, 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 and magnified. And as this is always the case, we always be mindful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. Let all the people of God say, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen, amen, church. All right. Is everybody all right? Amen. We know the methodology of Scripture. What's the methodology of Scripture? Call your text. Amen. Call your text. You exegete. Then you explain it. And after you explain, it's time to sit down. Amen. Repeat after me. If you do not divide this Bible according to dispensations and covenants, you will be guaranteed to be totally confused. So church, thank God. I'm telling you something. Church, I know you all say, you keep saying divide the Bible. You better divide this Bible. You know, I remember, amen, 17 years ago that my wife and I, Lord, led us in this ministry, and amen, in terms of through the medium of the pastor's pen, I was teaching at a mega church. Amen. Thank God for the saints there. But I was so frustrated because the more I talked, the more confused I got. And the Lord is in this process laying here. But here's the point. At one point, I think the first 2 months I was here, I had all these scriptures that was cleared up. And the Lord breathed upon pastor to what? Teach. Differentiating the gospels. So for years I suffered. In terms of spiritually. In confusion. And at one point I said, Lord, why would you allow me to go through all this suffering in terms of confusion, doctrinally speaking? And the Lord did not speak, but he just kind of lightened my heart. So you can encourage others. Come on here. Everything you're going through, church, is for purpose. Yes. It's designed to encourage others. Yes. Amen. If we can keep that framework, then we can walk by faith and not by sight, which is the essence of what we're going to talk about today. We're going to go right into scriptures. Deacon Gavin, please. Hebrews. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11. Deacon, I want you to read verse 1 through 3. And I would like for you to read verse, again, 3 in the interlinear Greek. Again, Hebrews chapter 11. Verses 1 through 3, please. And what are we going to do today, church? I could not sleep last night because the Lord showed something in here. I was up at 4 o'clock, couldn't sleep. I was so excited about the essence of his word. So today we're going to do some, like a review of some things that we talked about the last two or three months that came from the pastor's document. And we're just going to review some of those things because some of you were not here the past couple times I was up. So we're just going to kind of snapshot and review some things, and then we'll get back to the document the next time I'm up. But repetition is a key to learning. Amen? So Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 1 through 3. I trust that everyone has the Bible. Deacon Gavin, you may begin, please.
We're reading again from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, beginning verse 1, ending verse 3. Verse 1 and 2 from the King James Version. Oh, 1, 2, and 3.
Yes, please. 1, 2, and 3, yes.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Mm-hmm. Through faith, verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
Mm-hmm.
Now, verse 3, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, from the interlinear Greek text, by faith we understand to have been adjusted the ages. By a word of God.
By a word of God.
So as not out of things appearing, the things being seen to have become.
To have become. Church, in other words, when Deacon Gavin just read, to have been adjusted, the saying, the word is a saying of God. In other words, in verse 3, everything came into existence via the medium of a saying of God. One saying. One decree. No sequencing. Everything's according to God. One decree. Now, the religious systems, church, the way they treat Hebrews 11, because it's like they eradicate what Paul mentions in verse 3. They go right into verse 4, where it talks about, Moses and all, they call these the heroes of faith. So what they do, because they don't exegete, they don't focus on verse 3, it's like Paul didn't say anything in verse 3, then they jump right over there and talk about all the heroes of faith. Oh, they stopped the mouths of lions and all the great things they did. But if you do not connect verse 3 with all those other verses, you will never understand what Paul was saying in Hebrews chapter 11. What the Holy Spirit was saying through to Paul. And you're going to understand the Holy Spirit. This is God's word. So whenever we say Moses said or Isaiah said or whoever, it's all the word of God. God spoke through his prophets and apostles through his word. Having said that, in these scriptures, it talks about everything came into existence. And let's read verse 3. We're going slow. We're not in a hurry. Read verse 3 one more time in the Greek, please.
Again, Hebrews 11 and verse 3. By faith we understand to have been adjusted or created the ages by a word of God. Mm-hmm. So as not out of things appearing, the things being seen to have become.
Now, church, if you look at, now we don't have time to read all these components in chapter 11, but just a few head notes here. It talks about verse 4. It talks about everything were framed by the word of God, so the things which Dick just read. Verse 4 talks about by faith Abel offered up a more sacrifice. By faith, verse 5, it talks about by faith Enoch was translated. Then verse 6 talks about by faith Noah did the great works. Then in verse 6 talks about by faith Abraham. Verse 11 talks about through faith Sarah. Verse 20, by faith Isaac. Then verse 21, by faith Jacob. Verse 22, by faith Joseph.
Then verse 29, by faith Moses. So you look at this, let someone say, wait a minute. What's the connection between all of these what we call heroes? And by the way, there's no such thing as heroes. That's man's term. Because, amen, the only hero in the essence of eternality is Christ. Christ, Christ, Christ. We are just the recipients of his grace. So when they say heroes of faith, they say heroes because they do not, when I say they, religious systems, most of them, thank God, do not connect the so-called we call heroes with verse 3. In other words, verse 3, everything came into existence through a saying of God. You see, church, verse 3, I'm sorry, I don't know about y'all, I shouted in my heart when I saw this. Wait a minute. Verse 3, a saying, you're talking about actualization. And all those other people, what do you call heroes of faith, Abraham, Moses, and Noah, you are dealing with manifestation. You're dealing with processes. In other words, they did not do these things because they were so great. They did these things because it was decreed, it was a sign of God. Everything they did, they were called to do it. But see, if you remove what Paul said in verse 3, you would think they did it because, they were so great. No, everything they did was according to God. Everything. It was a result of a saying of God. So now, when you read these, what the points of, now, by the way, we're not minimizing what God calls them to do. Because everything they did was God's purpose. But when you analyze all these great works, Moses opened up the Red Sea, the Lord, Daniel in the lion's den, all of these what we call great works, these works did not manifest because they were so great. It manifested because it was a saying of God. God decreed it in eternity.
That's right.
So if you put the light off the men and put it where it should be, which is Christ, you can go to Hebrews and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what you caused men to do, men and women. So let's bring this to our life today. Everything that God calls you to do, don't take credit for that. God calls you to do what you're doing. But somebody say, oh, no, I fast, I pray. So whenever you put out there, you just eradicated grace. Everything you do is according to God. Well, somebody said, I messed up yesterday. Well, hey, some of you may have messed up before you came to the door today. But that's what? That's still according to God. So we're not glorifying messing up. But what we're saying is that religious systems have a tendency to put the limelight on men when they read Hebrews 11. And it all goes back to the workings of God. Going further. Let's go further. In Hebrews 11. I want you to read. Now, again, we talk about all these miracles. Let me get a chance. Please read. Go through that. Read. Go through Hebrews chapter 11. You'll see the great miracles that they did. I want you to read verse 40 in the King James and the Greek, please. Verse 40. Church, we're on Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 40. All these great miracles. But look what Paul says here. Somebody say, what? Did Paul mean that? The Holy Spirit, read verse 40.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 40, first from the King James Version. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect.
Wait. God provided some better things for us. Next question, who is the us? Let's go back, church. Let's do a little history on the book of Hebrews. The Apostle Paul wrote Hebrews. Now, we're not going to get into an argument. I got a good friend of mine. He'll go to Paul's to the grace contract, and he'll say, our contract is basically Romans through Philemon. What about Hebrews? No, Paul did not write Hebrews. Paul wrote Hebrews, church. Now, Paul wrote Hebrews. Let's look at the history to this book. It was written to Hebrew Christians. Paul had a battle on his hands because you had God's elect that were stuck in the law. Then God moved them from the law to the kingdom. Some state was stuck in the kingdom, and the essence of this book is for those who God calls to move from the kingdom gospel to the grace gospel. Some never left the law. They died in the law, according to God. Some never left the kingdom. So don't beat up on James and some of them. They never, hey, that was their calling, preach the kingdom gospel. And some God moved from kingdom to grace. So in the essence of this, that's why Paul writes over in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 40. Read that now. In the essence of these covenants, read verse 40 again. King James and Greek.
All right. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 40, King James Version again. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect.
You read that in Greek?
Now from the interlinear Greek text, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 40. God concerning us, better something.
Better.
Having foreseen, in order that not without us, they should be perfected.
Wait a minute. Better? What can be better than raising the dead? Casting out devils? What can be better than God stopping the mouths of lions? What can be better than all these miracles? Deacon Gavin, go to Hebrews, go to 7:22. It's going real slow today. Hebrews 7:22. Yeah, some of y'all getting it. What can be better that Moses opened up the Red Sea? What can be better than God using his leader to raise people from the dead? What can be better than all of these wonderful miracles? The Apostle Paul just stated here, God has provided some better things for us. Who's us? The body of Christ. Well, somebody help me out. What can be better than all of these miracles? Go ahead.
Now from Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22, first from the King James Version. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament.
A better testament. What's better, church? In fact, one account says we have a better covenant established on better promises. Let's ask ourselves a question. Let's answer the question. What can be better than all the things that heroes of faith did in chapter 11? I tell you, not me, the Holy Spirit. Justification is better than raising a person from the dead. Reconciliation is better than anything that manifests in physicality. You being chosen by God before the foundation of the world is better, it's better, it's better than what manifests in time. You, because one day you were dead in your trespass and sins. But God, who is rich in mercy, where he loved you in eternity, it's better than getting your body healed. Hallelujah. You, a child of God, being one day you were, God moved you from the lowest degree of depravity to the highest position of sonship. It's better than Moses taking a rod and open up the Red Sea. In other words, what God said about you in eternity, spirituality is better than physicality.
Better.
It's better, church. So going back, the things, it comes out of a saying, which is spirituality. The purpose is spirituality, and what manifests from Hebrews verse 4 all the way through 39 is physicality. It's processes. And here's a problem. Men of God's people cannot differentiate between purpose and processes. And if you cannot draw this line of demarcation between purpose and processes, you'll carry this right over into your life because you people are confused about salvation. But everything begins with purpose, and purpose by God drives physicality. What manifests in time is a result of what God declared or decreed in eternity. It begins with a saying of God. We're gonna corroborate another something else Paul said in Ephesians. Deacon Gavin, let's go to the book of Ephesians, church. Something else Paul says here in Ephesians that shows. Ephesians, Deacon Gavin, I want you to read verse 3, 14 through 18. Read verse 18 in the Greek, please. Yes, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 18. And read verse 18 in the Italian Greek.
Amen. We're reading now from the book of Ephesians, the third chapter, verses 14 through 18, verse 14 through 17 from the King James Version.
That's right.
For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height.
Now, they read verse 18 in the Greek, please.
Now, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 18 from the interlinear Greek text. In order that ye may have strength to apprehend with all the saints what the breadth and length and height and depth.
Church, now if you have a good Greek Bible, you see that word breadth there? That word breadth, a more accurate term, that word breadth is really purpose. Saints, what is the purpose? Which is spirituality. The next three words to it, in fact, even if you have a pen, write in it. You see the word length? Physicality. Depth? Physicality. Height? Physicality. The desk, the chairs you're sitting on, church, that chair is what? It has length and width and height. It's physicality. But what created that is a saying of God, which is spirituality. So the length, depth, and height, everything that's measured in the matrix is purposed by a saying of God. Everything that's in your home, if you live on a 14-5-0 Minot Street, everything that's in that house has length and breadth and height. Everything that's in that house is governed by a saying of God. But somebody said, I came home from work today and everything is messed up in my house. A saying of God. Oh, I came home for one day, everything was so peaceful. A saying of God. Everything that's measured in the matrix, this the Lord, Pastor, bless our pastor, right? Get that document, amen. The matrix, what? Measurements, they don't just exist on their own. It's a saying of God. I was almost late getting to church today, left the house. And I said, Lord, why have you caused my tire to almost get flat? That was the grace of God. I stopped at two places. No place couldn't get no air, but thank God the Lord led me to another place. And the point is this. I said, why? You know what? The Lord many times had to warn us, tell us, teach us that everything that you plan, I was planning is getting a car, be here, right? Everything that you plan doesn't happen. Everything that happens is according to God. And many times God's allowed things to happen to let you know that how certain, how fragile the things are in time.
Right.
And if I didn't make it here, amen, the grace of God would still be gone on. I said, Pastor, you've been calling somebody today. But the Lord. So, in essence here, we, the church, is caught up in physicality, which is processes. And that's the problem. Some crazy thing happens in the matrix, and you say, oh, Lord, what's this all about? You better take your eyes off processes and look at purpose. And many times things happen And God breathed upon a person. And if you don't watch, you connect that to physicality and assuming that everything is in itself that physicality, but it's driven by spirituality. Okay, I tell you, let's bear with me. Bear with me. I'm going to flip my science hat on for a minute. My science hat. There was a scientist. Y'all studied him, and you know, you studied scientists in school, elementary, whatever. Sir Isaac Newton, God breathed on him years ago to, you know the story, y'all. He was sitting down where the apple hit his head, and you know the story, come on. And all of a sudden, he said, oh, the Lord breathed on Sir Isaac Newton. And by the way, we're not beating up on scientists. You know, I love science, right? But we're letting you know. The Lord breathed on Isaac Newton to create, develop, to discover what we call three laws of motion. Now, in these laws, they will operate on the medium of gravity. So we say, yes, Sir Isaac Newton discovered gravity through the laws of motion. Now, what has happened? And again, I'm not knocking this statement, but you have to take this further. We know the statement. What goes up must come down. Wait a minute. Okay. Are you serious? What goes up must come down, rests on processes. But now, if you telling me, I know you're saying everything that goes up is going to come down. Yeah, everything. Oh, really? So now, who breathed on the Sir Isaac Newton? God did. Through the law of motion. What goes up must come down. That's a process, church. So now, if you're saying that everything that goes up has got to come down, now, first of all, who created gravity? Mm-hmm. Everything is in God. So now, if you say that everything that goes up must come down, now you're saying that God is subject to something he created. No. God is God all by himself. Let's take this further. Because what happens, people are locked into physicality, and then that's what happens. They ride us all into salvation. To say that if I do this, I do that, I get saved. Knowing that salvation is of the Lord. Now, So now people say, well, yes, everything that goes up must come down. All right, let's look at this further. There is a term when Sir Isaac Newton discovered the laws of motion. He didn't know anything about a term called escape velocity. And escape velocity, church, is the speed at which an object must travel to break the force of gravity in the earth. And the moon, not only the earth, but the moon, is called escape velocity, church. And that velocity is 7 miles per second or 25,000 miles per hour. So now if you're saying that everything goes up must come down, but you explain to me, see, science, God breathed on them to discover this number. When you reach 25,000 miles per hour, you escape the Earth's gravitational force. And that's why they're able to move these rockets. You've seen it in outer space. Because they have God breathe upon them. They know the force it takes to escape the Earth's gravity. So what do you mean by what goes up? What must? Did that rock come down? No, it didn't. Well, somebody says it's one day. One day it's going to come down. Oh, really? Let's take this further. An object falling in the ground as a result of the force of gravity is merely a process. God is not moved by processes. He's moved by purpose. Now, church, I'm going to make the summary statements. There are some objects that have left this earth never to have been returned. Because it's God's purpose. Now, process-wise, men have come down. But according to God's purpose, God can just breathe on that object and it'll never come back. According to God. God does what he wants to do, when he wants to do, how he wants to do it, because he's God. So what's the summary here? In the kingdom gospel, the focus is on processes. In the grace gospel, the focus is on purpose. Now go back to what Paul wrote in Hebrews 11 about the Hebrew. Why did Paul, the Lord, write through Paul all these examples of what would be called the heroes of faith? Because that's our term. To what? Understand the language of that covenant. The Jews were locked into physicality. They were locked into processes. And if you do not separate processes from purpose, you will be confused. That is why it's dangerous to go to those other covenants for doctrine. Because you're looking at things from a limited view. Not looking at things from the eternal view, which is what? Purpose. It reminds me of an example. See, what happens? Here's a problem. People go there in the old law and they take some things that happen and they apply that to their life today. And one example is this. You go there, again, they don't have time, but you go there, 2 Samuel, it talks about Hezekiah was sick and prayed for him, and what happened? God gave him 15 more years. And in the language of that covenant, it talked about the great things he did and wonderful things. And through prayer, God gave him 15 more years. God healed him, gave him 15 more years of life. Now you grab that out, just grab that example, church. Oh, Lord, I'm sick. By the way, amen. If you have an affirmative, amen, pray. That's the process, right? Pray. But whatever happens in that prayer, church, it's according to God. Some of God's people get healed. It's according to God. Some of God's people may have an affirmative for 20 years, according to God. Some of God's people get checked out of here, according to God. But the thing about it, don't go over there in Isaiah or Kings where you have limited information and you build a doctrine. But somebody said, the Lord gave him 15 more years because he was so righteous and so righteous, and God gave him 15 more years. Well, here's a problem of going to those other covenants for doctrine. Oh, so you're saying God gave him 15 more years because he was a righteous man? Oh, yes, absolutely. Will someone tell me David prayed and fasted for, Lord, heal my son. David's son died. Help me out, church. One man of God, God gave him 15 more years. Another man of God, his son died. And see what happens, people make up stuff. Oh, David, son died. I heard some everything. Because the Bible, they grabbed something out. The Bible said, told David, the sword will never depart from your home. And all this stuff, all these things. David's son died because that was a saying of God. That was a saying that was decreed in eternity. You can fast, you can pray, you can do whatever. Everything's going to come it's going to come to pass based on what God said. That's why, church, you know the good news? The fact that God saved you in eternity, you couldn't even wiggle out of that. Somebody said, I don't want God. You could have said, so I know some people, you were in school, whatever. I don't want Jesus. You know how depraved minds were. No matter what you said, God had you marked in eternity.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
And you are saved because you were. You are saved in time because you weren't. I haven't been saved. So no matter what you did, and every person here, if I were to name the number of people in the church, everyone had a different course that God used to not only for you to get saved, but to bring enlightenment to the fact that you have always belonged to Christ. Always! Give the Lord a hand. Amen. But remember, now we talk about processes. People see things as if it happens this way. They see things in the physical arena that happen a certain way, and then they move that to salvation and say, if I do certain things this way, I get saved. You see the problem there? They move processes over into what they call spirituality. And I was writing down some things here in terms of salvation. A lot of religious systems, you ask a lot of people, how are you saved? In fact, one person, the Lord breathed upon this person years ago. He said, well, before I join a church, I'm going to call. He called several pastors, bishops. His one question, how are you saved? Let's listen to what he received. So he said he enlisted churches because he was, the Lord's leading him in the church. And here are some of the, his question was this. He had some questions written down. He'll say, Bishop, Pastor, how am I saved? One church said, well, You have to speak in tongues. Another place said, oh, you need to belong to this church. Another church told him, you need to get baptized in Jesus' name. These are all the responses he received. Another place told him, no, you must be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Another place told him, you need to shake the preacher's hand. Another place told him, oh, my parents were Christians. Another place told him, I was sprinkled as a baby. Another institution told him, I use my faith. You have to use your faith. Oh, Lord, have mercy on this last one. The last church told him, oh, you were saved because you were born in America, which is a Christian nation. And you know what his summary was? Say, young man, so which church are you going to be attending? He said, you know what? Neither one. He said, the church is confused. But somebody said, what's wrong with these answers? I tell you what's wrong with these answers. The problem, church, is this. You are not saved through any of these things. All of these things are processes. You are saved because God chose you in him before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. You are not saved. You are saved because the word of God declares,
that's right,
for by grace are ye, having been saved through faithfulness, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, not of baptism, not of tongues, not of belonging to a certain church. You were all saved in eternity and not time.
Glory to Jesus. Glory.
You were saved by God's eternal purpose.
Hallelujah.
And not processes.
Hallelujah.
So even so,
hallelujah,
the key thing to church is this. Everything is according to God. God's purpose for salvation is what he did in eternity. Now, we're going to look at a couple other things because we have the church. It's so important to take salvation out of time. To take salvation out of time. Because in the essence of time, anything can happen. But God's salvation should be in the secure realm, and that is what God said.
Yes.
Let's repeat again. We started in Hebrews 11. Everything came into being via the medium of a saying of God. It comes out of the saying, not the sin. The word of God. Our life is a result of what God said, not what manifests in time. Everything that God did for you was done in eternity.
Amen.
You church, you need to understand that it begins with salvation.
Mm-hmm.
If you have clarity regarding salvation, mm-hmm, you have clarity regarding everything else in your life. If you understand that God has done it all, then you can take this knowledge and take it down in life to see whether it's on your job,
mm-hmm,
with the relationship with your husband,
mm-hmm,
your wife, the children. It clarifies everything.
Praise God.
Because you know that everything is according to God.
God.
It will bring peace to your life in time, mm-hmm, because you have peace in your eternal relationship with God. What is salvation? Our eternal relationship with God. But if you are insecure regarding your salvation, you're going to go through life with a lot of insecurity.
Praise God.
I was reading a book to the pastor. In fact, by the way, let me say this. In this new year. Now, I'm just saying this. In this new year, my prayer is that Lord would breathe upon every person here to purchase the book, put it in your car. Don't be afraid of God's will. I know some of you have the book, but if you do not have that book, please make this your New Year's spiritual resolution. Get that book because it'll be a blessing. Everything in life is according to what God has already said.
Mm-hmm.
Well, someone say, well, how do I operate in this? You need to let the Holy Spirit calls you to look at the big picture in terms of what God did for you. Not on the day-by-day sequences of time. Because the day-by-day sequence of time is so unpredictable. It can be anything can happen in time, church. Mm-hmm. And some things you don't understand. Jesus. But everything is according to God. And see, you can take the knowledge of God's word. You can take the knowledge of God's word, and it'll bring clarity to the things that we deal with in time.
That's right.
It'll bring what? Clarity to the things that what? We go through in time. Mm-hmm. For example, let's bring some clarity. You know, we're in the football season, and I was watching the playoff last week, and I just knew this Minnesota and Seattle. Lord, this kicker, he lined up on the 27-yard line. Oh, I said, look, the game is over. Let me go get a cup of coffee. The game is over. 27 yards, that's like an extra point. I came back, and the kicker kicked that ball, and the Lord, let me say this. See, you cannot explain physicality with physicality. If you ask the average scientist, let's say they have a PhD in engineering, they say, what caused that kicker? Why did that ball go that way? Miss a 27-yard field goal? You know what that scientist would tell you? He would use a term called projectile motion. Now, I'm not have time to go into this, but basically the projectile motion is once the velocity hits the ball, that motion will determine whether it's going to go, what direction. And I guarantee you they're going to say, oh, it's on projectile motion. He missed it because of that. No. When he released that ball, God has breathed on that according to his purpose. God breathed on that way. He didn't practice enough. Well, what about people that practice all day and miss it? It's not about that. It's all about God's purpose. You cannot explain physicality with physicality. You explain salvation is of the Lord. So now you take this knowledge and you go and shine some light on those other covenants. And you understand, you can read them with comprehension. Years ago, people go over there, Genesis, they say everything produces out its own kind, this and this. And so if you don't understand, if you take this information apart from the mystery, they'll say, well, you take a seed, you plant a seed, and it's going to produce, let's say, a watermelon, it's going to produce a watermelon. You plant a seed, it'll produce this. No, they say everything produces after its own kind. That's all part of it, church. But in essence, everything produces after its own kind, meaning that spirituality can only produce spirituality. Physicality cannot produce spirituality. So when a person say, well, I got saved, and some of God's people will go through their grave and convincing themselves that they got saved because, quote, they spoke in tongues. But here's a problem. Is speaking in tongues, is that a physical work or is it a spiritual work? It's physical. So help me out. How can something physical produce something spiritual?
I hear you. I hear you.
You physically being immersion of water, is that act a physical act or a spiritual act? That's physical. That's physical. And then what happens is that, that's it, the moment you release, come out of the water, you save. So now you're saying a physical act produces a spiritual act. No. That's all. But somebody said, what about in the kingdom law, gospel tells us about be baptized and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Those are processes. Now, here's a blessing of our covenant. See, here's a blessing of our covenant, church. If you were to ask Peter, James, and John, go back 2,000 years, and someone were to ask them, how are you saved? You know what they would tell you? Oh, we are saved because the Lord said, be baptized in Jesus' name, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the language. That's the knowledge they had at that time. But now go to our gospel. If someone had asked Paul, Timothy, Titus, Lydia, other of the grace apostles, how would Peter save? How would Moses save? How was Jeremiah, all the Old Testament prophets, how were they saved? They were saved because God chose them before the foundation of the world. Give the Lord a hand. They were saved, but they didn't know it. So what? A lot of things we don't know, church. Thank God. Thank God, God did not put a qualification on knowledge, but to determine your salvation. Thank God. Because if it was a criteria of knowledge, many of God's people would be left behind. But you should thank God that he has caused you to have some enlightenment on the grace doctrine, the grace covenant. You should thank God that he has opened up your eyes so that you can see the wondrous works of God and what he did for you in eternity and not time.
Amen.
So we have so much to be thankful for.
Hallelujah.
So in essence, it's all according to what God's purpose. What God said is all according to a saying of God. Not according to what manifests in time. Now, we can close up on a couple other things, and then we'll be out. Another thing is this. Everything is according to God based upon what God has already said. See, your life is hidden in Christ because of what God said. God said that you have obtained an inheritance. You are not about to get an inheritance. You already have one, church. Get the Lord, you have an inheritance. Hallelujah. You are not about to be redeemed. You are already redeemed. You're not one day going to receive some spiritual blessings. You already have the spiritual blessings. Are you in Christ? Yes, you are. So you already have, not going to receive, already have. Jesus is the head. You are the member of his glorious body. Everything that's in Christ, you have. And not had nothing to do with you.
That's right.
Everything done according to his love for you.
Yes.
Neither death, nor life, nor principalities. Nothing can ever separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's the head. Do you understand, church? As a member of this body, you are actually a component of eternality.
Amen.
See, we miss the heroes of faith. Someone got raised from the dead, but in a matter of time, they can die. They can leave here. That's temporary. God healed your body. Wonderful. But in a matter of time, that body's going to go by way of the dust. But isn't it interesting that whatever happens in your life has already occurred. Your spiritual journey has already been written.
Praise Jesus.
Your course has already been complete.
That's right. Come on.
Your prayer has already been answered.
Hallelujah.
Somebody said, "Look, I prayed, it hasn't come to pass yet." Well, that's the that's the working of God to teach you some patience. Because everything you pray, church, I'm going to tell you something. Either three things are going to happen. See, someone said, "I prayed and I didn't get an answer." You know why you didn't get an answer? Because that answer was never there. Yes, it was, but the answer was that no. And sometimes you pray. Sometimes you say, "Yeah, I know." Prayer is good, church. A process. Prayer is a process. Whatever you pray about, that's already occurred. And when you pray, you may see, because God is not captivated by time. You may pray. You may think it's going to happen. The manifestation is going to occur the next month. It may be 10 years. Because God is not captivated by time. He created time. Well, someone help me out. How can God be captivated by something he created? You have obtained an inheritance. Paul said, "I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us." You're already glorified.
Praise Jesus.
Your body, you already have a new body that can never die. Jesus gave, even the kingdom gospel, Jesus said, "He that believeth in me shall never die." They thought he was crazy. Because Jesus, our Lord and Savior, was speaking from the eternal view. Not in time. So when he said, "You shall never die," see, they were all, you understand, church, when you go to those covenants are focused on manifestations. So when Jesus said, "He that believeth in me shall never die," he was looking and preaching from the eternal view. They were looking physicality. So then they said, "Oh, well, look at you, not even for the, look at Abraham." See, they would focus on physicality. That's why the Apostle Paul, the book of Hebrews, were to move them from physicality to spirituality. And that's where you have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. So in the essence of God's workings, in the essence of eternality, church, let's focus on the eternal view. Let's focus on the everlasting view.
Yes.
And let's focus on the fact that our life is hid in Christ. That every problem you have is already solved. You say, I do not know how it's going to be, but I do know that my life is secure in Christ. And what happens is this. You, as a child of God, God will lead you through certain experiences. And those experiences are not to destroy you. They are to build you. They are to allow you to be more like Christ. Now, we are in the essence of eternality. We are in him right now. But in the process, the doctrine of peripatiology, as we walk through life, God will present certain experiences in your life for you to understand that you need to move out of what? Out of sight sin and move into faith. Move into faith is what God said. So you're not going to preach this. You're not. If you think you're going to get away with preaching, teaching this and not walking this, God will put things in your life.
I hear you.
To take you from glory to glory.
I hear you.
To let you know processes may be crazy. Just like in that Matrix. Y'all seen that movie, The Matrix? I mean, that man, all those moves, it was like crazy. But that Matrix, that's the way life is. We call it unpredictable, but everything is predictable in Christ.
I hear you.
So when you focus on processes and not purpose, you will be confused. I'm going to close on a little example story here. Y'all, in the situation here, I'm going to close on this. You all may remember, we had, thank God, we had a fellowship, a fundraiser in September. And process-wise, see, my wife had, they already had it set up. So the way things occurred in terms of us getting a speaker, and that you all know the story. For those that don't know, we were able to get, we had a financial planning workshop by the same time the ladies had their meeting, and the place gave us $1,000 credit where we didn't have to pay the rent. So we had the fundraiser. Process-wise, it was the craziest time to have. See, normally you don't have two fundraisers by the same time. So my lovely wife said, why are you doing it? I said, baby, sorry. I mean, why are you planning two events? I said, look, the way that thing, it happened so quick. The girl said, we'll forgive y'all $1,000. You go and have your fundraiser. She said, I want to help the church out. But process-wise, it was crazy. But the thing about it, if you're looking at purpose, it took a life of its own. Now, we know, when people say things took a life of its own, that's just a man's term. Nothing takes a life of its own because, like Pastor mentioned, in men's fellowship, we do not live to ourselves, or we don't die to ourselves, but we are the Lord's.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But in the essence of the poor timing, but it was like people were just giving donations, and we attended the latest function, and most of their people, God was breathing everyone to give to help the church during these cold winter months and give Deacon Mitchell some relief in terms of what paying the bills. But here's the point. We had a meeting. I told my wife, I said, here's what we do. I said, because we had a luncheon. The men have raised $500, and the ladies, they raised $1,000. So we were happy to report that in those fundraisers, in spite of the bad time, bad processes, in terms of, by the way, we're not saying this, don't plan. Because right now we're planning one next year. We're going to plan these 6 months apart. Amen? So we're not complaining, but sometimes God will just breathe on you to let you know that things are not governed by processes. They are governed by purpose. And the Lord still blessed us to raise over $1,500 in spite of the crazy processes. So in spite of how crazy your life may appear, in spite of how crazy things may manifest, oh, you don't understand, my boyfriend doesn't understand me, my girlfriend doesn't understand me, my husband, my wife, my boss is getting ready to fire me. Has he fired you? No. Well, walk by faith. But suppose I get fired. Amen. It's according to God. No matter what happens, understand that everything is according to God. The politicians do not control nothing. I don't care if they can get up there and say, we're going to close the wall, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. They're only going to do what God has called them to do. And whoever is a president, he or she is already there. But somebody say, you don't want to vote? Yeah, vote. But understand that the end result is already there. So in the final analysis, walk by faith, church, and not by sight. And as you go through life, allow the Holy Spirit to cause you to focus on the mystery writings. Because what is the mystery? The volume of truth that God gave to the Apostle Paul for the grace church. And he dispensed it to others. And to this day, it's still being dispensed. And what's that volume of truth? The fact that our life is hid in Christ. The fact that we are safe and secure. And the fact that no matter what happens out here, they could call right now, they're talking about nuclear weapons. Let them bring on the weapons because we are safe. If God used a nuclear bomb to take you out, to remove you from the time capsule, wonderful, Holy Spirit. Bring it on, Holy Spirit, because I have peace in my heart, and I have peace in my heart. And as I go through life, I will focus on not what manifests in time, but what you have done for me in eternity. I will focus on the fact that the gospel of the grace of God is the only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
Hallelujah!